Sarah, we're talking today about the layoffs that have taken place at Chesapeake Energy. I've waited till now to visit with you because I wanted to see kind of where we were after the dust settled. So just first of all, give me the overview of what's happened there.
In the last few weeks, Chesapeake has had what they call a mass layoff. So at the end of September, they laid off about 86 people. And then a couple weeks ago, on October 8th, they laid off 800 people, including 640 people in the Oklahoma City area. So that brings the total to around 900 people just in the last few weeks here.
Now, is this a sign of something that we're going to see in other energy companies in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, and across the nation? Or do you think, based on your reporting, was this primarily targeted at just a Chesapeake kind of thing?
I think the Chesapeake situation is fairly unique. Some of the other larger independent companies here in the city are still hiring. And some of the smaller independent companies and smaller service providers are still hiring. Chesapeake is a fairly unique situation in the sense that they had a much larger employee base than most of their peers and most of the others in the area here. A couple years ago, they had about 13,000 employees. Now that number is down to around 10,000, more or less. But, you know, a similar competitors, Anadarko has around 3,000. Devon Energy has about 5,500. Continental has just around 1,000 employees. For their size and for their market capitalization, Chesapeake had many more employees than similar peers.
How is this affecting their bottom line? Have we seen any effect there?
Well, there are a couple effects. One is a charge that they have to pay as a result of the layoffs. So just recently, they announced that they had a $70 million charge. $45 million of that came from payroll taxes, and $25 million came in some severance fees. So they had some charges that were associated with that. And then they had a smaller voluntary buyout packages that happened at the end of December 2012, beginning of 2013. And they, about 200 employees, more or less, took that voluntary buyout. They had a $64 million charge. They reported that back in March of the year. So that is kind of the upfront cost that they pay right off the bat. However, what this move is intended to do is supposed to make them more efficient, more profitable. With fewer employees, they'll have less overhead. And so it's going to make the company leaner and meaner, which is CEO Doug Lawler's ultimate goal, is to make it more profitable and more efficient.
Well, and this actually kind of all started with stockholders demanding that, didn't it?
That's right. That's right. One of the things that stockholders started getting upset about in the spring of 2012 was kind of the expenditures of Chesapeake. You know, they had a lot of overhead, and there was not a whole lot of guidance, they felt, from the board of directors about the corporate governance and the then CEO and co-founder Aubrey McClendon. Obviously, a lot of changes have happened since then. Aubrey stepped down at the beginning of this year, and we've got a new CEO in. He's changing directions. We've got new people on the board of directors, and they are working together with the chairman, non-executive chairman, Archie Dunham, is working hand in hand with Doug Lawler to go through the company line by line, essentially looking for places to get rid of subsidiaries that are not profitable, make it a leaner corporation, and make it more focused on exploration and production. You know, at its heart, they're a drilling company, and that what Doug Lawler's trying to do is make it look like a drilling company.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for your time, and we'll read more about your reporting on Chesapeake and Aubrey McClendon's new company in the Journal Record.
Thanks for having me, Kurt.